Welcome to the Philip Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 2:38 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is February 18th. So it's not every day though that the FTSE 100 makes a new all-time high, but that's what we're doing today. And it's been a jolly long range. We can see that the big bull market of the 1990s peaked right at the end of 1999, and it then took until 2017 for a new high to be sustained for a while, and it was looking like that was just a first step above the base. But then you had the pandemic, so you had this massive decline down to 5,000 and a sharp rebound, then another consolidation in the region of the new all-time peak set in 2018. So now it's popping on the upside. So one should be, I think, asking questions then, what's going on? Well, one thing is that over the course of the last decade, the pound has gone down quite a bit. So when we look at the performance of the FTSE on a constant currency basis, then it is not pushing on to new high ground. In fact, it is still below the peak set in 1999, and particularly below the peak set in 2007. So currency is certainly one of the factors that is contributing to the relative position in nominal terms. However, then we should also be thinking about the fact that major components like Shell have been going sideways for what feels like forever. So Shell is up now above the 2500 level. It's closing out today at 2579, and this is the upper side of what's a very lengthy range. And maybe if I don't know if it's going to give us the old ticker. So we'll see if that still works. Bloomberg has a long history of getting rid of the old tickers, but we do get the back history in this case. We can see that the price now is around 2500, and that's more or less the upper side of a 23-year range. And then we have additional companies that are now also pushing on the upside. What I find rather interesting is that it's resources companies like CRH that are hitting new closing highs. Then you have luxury goods companies like there aren't many luxury goods companies in the UK, but Burberry is certainly one, and it's been consolidating in the region of the upper side of this long-term range and pushing higher in here today. And then there were two companies that are in the private equity sector that made new highs as well in here today. And Pershing Square is pushing on to test at least the peak from late 2021, but this is really quite steady action. And then we have 3i, which has been accelerating higher and is looking really rather overextended in the short term, but this has been a really impressive performance. So there has been really a very varied performance in the private equity sector, where you have Blackstone still not quite capable of breaking the medium-term downtrend, and then some of those UK private equity companies that have been doing substantially better. So that also points to the fact that they're involved in very different business lines, and that obviously some are not nearly as interest rate sensitive as others. One of the reasons why the UK was pushing on the upside in here today was because there's the expectation, at least, that inflationary pressures are starting to moderate. But gilt yields are still holding in here around the 3% level. And while in mildly negative territory today, this still looks like a consolidation overall, and it's going to require a sustained move below 3% in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment and that angst around inflation is abating. Bund yields are up to almost 2.5% again. So back testing the peak on the back of Christine Lagarde basically saying that they're going to raise rates by 50 basis points at the next meeting. And that may not be the end of the rate hiking cycle. So then let's think about currencies, because the pound was down today in a rather dynamic manner at 1.5p, so or 1.5 cents, I should say. So coming back down to test this 120 area, and that's quite a reversal in the short term. So this is a potential area of support. If it's going to find support, this is the area. But the dollar has been resurgent, and not just against the pound, but also against both the euro and the yen. So this rebound that we're seeing in the dollar is also on the expectation that interest rate hikes are going to persist in the USA. So then that's weighing on gold. And gold prices extended their decline in here today, down 17. We had the downside key reversal last week, or I guess the end of the week before. Downside follow through. It's also a weekly key reversal, so quite likely to unwind the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. That's also weighing on some of the other precious metals like silver. Where the price has also been pulling back, and it is now in the region of a potential area of support. But I think we also can see clearly here that there is a sequence of lower rally highs that's been in evidence since the beginning of 2021. And we also have the upper side of the base around $20. So we're coming back into a potential area of support, but it's certainly got some work to do in order to break the downward bias that's been forming now for 2 years. Then, what I found especially interesting in here today was that Bitcoin was up in a really dynamic manner. We're definitely seeing some short covering going on in here. So, up $1,800. And that's against a background where the dollar has been stronger, where there's certainly been less interest in gold. And that's also started to reignite interest in some of these crypto plays. So Silvergate, for example, was up in a rather dynamic manner in here today. I'll put it on a log scale chart so that it's quite obvious how big the percentage move has been. And then Riot, they used to call it Riot Blockchain, but of course now it's Riot Platforms, was also up in a pretty dynamic manner. So these Bitcoin plays, which were decimated in 2022, are certainly starting to turn around as interest begins to be revitalized. This is, I think, really purely cyclical. It's not necessarily that liquidity has suddenly bounced back, but rather that the halving is only about 14 months away. So it's usually around this time that investor interest begins to turn back towards the cryptocurrency sector. Now, when we then think about the wider technology sector, well, the NASDAQ 100 is still holding out here above the 200-day moving average. It has broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and this continues to be a rather bullish-looking chart overall. So we might see some additional upside here. Now, this does not detract from the fact that we have an inverted yield curve. But as of the point I've been making is that as long as the yield curve continues to invert, and rather instead of turning back around and pushing up through the zero bound, and particularly up through 50 basis points on the plus side, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. It is quite normal that investors will be relieved at the efforts made by central banks to curtail inflation, and that will help to support prices. It's when there's panic sets in at deteriorating growth, and sharply lower inflation, that's when we generally see a deeper pullback in stocks, but we're not at that point yet. Now, when we think about the oil price, it's been holding out here above the $80 area for Brent crude, and it was off the low in here today. Now, we're in an interesting environment overall. So the OPEC countries are curtailing supply. And Russia is talking about curtailing supply. And investment in new supply is coming through from some of the US producers. And a lot of the offshore drillers are returning to performance. And the only reason that they would be starting to attract interest is because there's more money flowing into offshore drilling. Now, one of the reasons why they might be drilling offshore is to capture the higher price, but then also that offshore drilling emits fewer emissions. Now, of course, that kind of argument's not going to fly with the green lobby, but the reality is that for companies that are trying to bolster their green credentials, any way that they can reduce emissions will be welcomed. And the carbon credit price in Europe is up in a fairly dynamic manner in here today. Now, when we zoom out a little and look at this on a weekly chart, we can see it's more likely than not that it's going to break on the upside. The carbon, or the CraneShares Global Carbon ETF, it's not just European carbon credits, but it is bouncing from the lower side of its range. So it's also got the California carbon credits in there as well. When we think then about the reasonable strength that we've had in Wall Street today and the strength, at least in nominal terms, for the FTSE 100, China and Australia were down in here today, and the A-share index is coming back in to test the region of the 200-day moving average. The ASX 200 is unwinding its short-term overbought condition and could easily come back in to test the region of the 200-day moving average. And we continue to see that there's uncertainty about what exactly the new head of the Bank of Japan will do. I think it is unlikely he's going to be revolutionary. But the Nikkei was in negative territory in here today. I think that one thing that is quite obvious here is that we don't have a lot of volatility, and that investors are still quiescent and willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the potential, at least, that inflation can be vanquished without a recession. I think that that's the triumph of hope over experience, but nonetheless, we are seeing prices moving higher, and as more speculative assets like Bitcoin are starting to perform, and the VIX index is holding the move below 20. So I think it is worth giving the benefit of the doubt to the upside until we at least see that yield curve spread turning around and marching higher in an undeniable fashion. But we're not really there yet, even though it was up 5 basis points in here today. Then there's obviously geopolitical tensions, and Russia is more than likely priming itself for a spring offensive, and it's really gut churning to think about the waves of young men that are going to be sacrificed in this offensive. But the reality is that Russia believes that they can use soldiers as bullets, and that they will then exhaust the munitions available to NATO, and over the long haul will then secure victory or will secure favorable negotiation terms. And obviously that's going to be exceptionally bloody and very difficult to perform. But it also points to the clear possibility that this war isn't going to end anytime soon. And then, of course, we have geopolitical tensions with China, and there's all of this pantomime about balloons. But it's part of a broader pattern of behavior where there's less trust. And then when we hear from a company like ASML today that they found another Chinese employee who has been stealing secrets, that's also contributing to this environment where there's just less trust between partners, and there's less tolerance of China accumulating intellectual property knowledge from companies when those companies don't know what the future of their business will be inside China. Now, ASML is also continuing to extend its rally, and it has also broken the sequence of lower rally highs. So there's obviously the potential that there's going to be more semiconductor factories built, and that's obviously beneficial for ASML. I do not believe that we're going to have the same kind of advance in future, though, or in the near future, like we had in 2020 or 2021. I think it is much more likely that for every new factory that the company benefits from being built around the world, they'll lose out on building one inside China. And we're likely to see continued efforts at reshoring, or perhaps I think more accurately, it's going to be friend shoring. So the Mexico ETF is now sustaining the breakout and bounced in here today. And then the feud between the new Brazilian government and the central bank appears to be ebbing. And the Brazilian real was a little softer in here today and continues to hover here around the 200-day moving average. When we then think about how is a Brazilian ETF performing? Well, it's off the lows, but it's definitely got some work to do in order to really demonstrate that we're back on a demand-dominated environment. I thought it was also particularly interesting today that India has put in the largest order for wide-body planes ever. So it's obviously beneficial for companies like Airbus and Boeing. But I think perhaps more important than that is India is now building infrastructure. Because if you're ordering upwards of 500 planes, well, it means that you also are going to need airports. And you can't, there's no point having an airport if you don't have roads that go to the airport because they're always outside cities. So therefore, this is a clear indication that India is in fact now building infrastructure. And that has been one of the primary missing ingredients for the Indian economy. So, and I think it's also worth just highlighting that the Nifty index continues to hold in the region of that 200-day moving average. Now let's also think about the relative performance of Mexico, India, and Vietnam. So the Vietnamese index has encountered resistance in the region of both the 200-day and the 1,000-day moving average, and it's still a reasonably consistent downtrend. Now, it was also in positive territory today, so it's certainly not without hope. But in order to clearly demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment and that international investors have got some credence in the potential for Vietnam to continue to benefit from the exodus of manufacturing capacity from China, well, it's going to have to at least sustain a move up and through that 200-day moving average. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.